Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gate.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is Susan Puzio, and we want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I know we say this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice. I know probably some of you will try to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So, we're going to talk a little bit today about what's in the news as far as current events, and are we really in the end times? What do you think? We'll be taking your calls at 914-338-1638. Also, the chat room is open, so if you would like to go into the chat room and let your voice be heard, that's open for you as well, so you can do that. And we do have a website. Our website is propheticnews.com, and there's many, many hundreds of articles that I've posted from other websites over the years. There's so much good information there, so please avail yourself to it, and you can learn so much. As long as we're living in this life, we're always learning. And there's so much to learn, especially about God and Jesus and His Word. So isn't that the way, though? Then, you know, when you're reading your Bible, you might have read a scripture so many times, but then you go back and read it again and you find something new. So that's how God's Word is. It washes us, and it renews our mind. Remember what our mind was like when when we weren't saved, and the things we thought about and the things we did. For us that have truly been born again, we know that we have a new life in Christ. We're not perfect, so none of us are. We realize that. But the new life is so much better than the old life ever was. Amen. And we want to thank God for all His blessings, and especially for saving us and giving us peace and joy that the world can't give. Because if you look at the situations in the world today, you could get depressed, especially the financial situations. The prices keep going up, in case you haven't noticed. Whoever thought that we would be paying $3 to $4 for a gallon of gasoline? I remember when I started driving when I was 16, gas was 25 cents a gallon. So you filled your car up for $3 or $4. Wow. Can you imagine? And I've heard that gasoline in Iraq is about that price. So they like to tell you that it's because the oil prices are high, or there's an oil shortage. But it's my belief that most of the money that we pay for a gallon of gas is in a tax of some form, which probably is a hidden tax that they don't tell you about. But if any government wants to give you something except God's government, because when God gives you something, it's free, of course. But if any worldly government wants to give you something, there's only one way that you're going to pay for it, because there isn't anything that you can get for free from a worldly government because they will just find a way to raise your taxes. And they'll find a way to take it. If you won't give it to them, they'll just take it. What did you think about that, the opening? I didn't watch much of it, the Olympic Games, the opening. I find it interesting that they call the place where the Olympic flame resides a cauldron. I found that a little interesting. Also, there was a scene that I saw in one of the London newspapers of all these hospital beds laid out in honor of the National Health Service there in England. Now, I myself personally, I visited England over 30 times in the 1990s. I traveled there to do whole ministry meetings in churches and for women's ministries. And some Bible colleges and things like that. So I'm a little familiar with people that have been exposed to these kind of socialist healthcare programs, especially the one they have in England. But it can make you very, very dependent on going to the doctor for every little thing. And, of course, you know that whenever you take any kind of medication, you're going to have a side effect. So you could develop something even worse from the medication than the sickness that you originally had. But from some of my friends that lived in England and they participated in this socialist medicine program that they have, sometimes they would have to wait 1 to 2 years for a surgery. And also there were in some of the hospitals, and I actually visited a friend in a hospital there. She was in a ward, which we don't even really see that much in this country. We will start seeing them, though. She was in a ward with men and women, and they were sharing the same bathroom. Now, imagine that you're in a hospital, and you're in a ward, or you're in a room, and right next to you is a man, and you're a woman. But that's the so-called glories of socialized medicine. And then I also think that it makes you lazy about taking care of yourself because you have to feed your body. And I'm amazed at how many people don't believe that nutrition really has anything to do with your health. And they think they can eat anything and do anything to their body. And if they get sick, so what? They'll just go to the doctor and get a pill. But your body has to have certain nutrients to function correctly, so you have to feed it. And I'm amazed at how many people will take pills and take medications and believe that because they eat that pill, it's going to make them better, but yet they won't believe that if they eat certain foods and they have a good diet, that it wouldn't help them. It's kind of like they've really been brainwashed, and we see it. It's so prevalent in the society today. I think that the way of thinking, how people's thinking has been so radically changed, especially what happened with this whole thing with Chick-fil-A, and he's taking a stand, and he's making his opinion known about how he feels about homosexuality. Well, he has a right to say how he feels, and he shouldn't be punished because he's against homosexuality and homosexual marriage and these kind of things. So I was reading some comments on Facebook, and some people were saying that it's a form of bullying, and it really is that it's okay for people that are pro-homosexual to bully people that are anti-homosexual and to try to punish them somehow. For instance, in the nation of Canada, you can't make any kind of remarks against homosexuality, especially on Christian television. It's considered a hate crime. And we're going to see that in this country. I think it's just a matter of time before we start seeing these kind of rules and regulations enacted where you can't say anything's right or wrong. And I see that even in the church today, that if you make any kind of statement that something's wrong somewhere, that people want to fight and argue with you, they want to make threats against you. And so I'm wondering, like, where does that come from? Because a true Christian, we don't want to hurt people. We don't try to go out of our way to hurt people. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and we have to stand on the Word of God. And after all, even if you do believe there is a God, you have to believe that He's smart enough to know what's right, what is going to hurt you, and how you can live your life without too much pain and suffering, especially personal pain and suffering for mistakes that you can avoid. And yet, most of the people that aren't born again, and they don't have the mind of Christ, they don't have the Word of God to rely on. If you don't agree with the way they think, they want to bully you. They might try to throw things at you, and it's just not right. It's just not right. So, but I think we're going to see more and more of these kind of things happening where there'll be so much persecution against Bible-believing Christians for merely making any kind of a statement about anything. There will be a time when, no matter what you say, even if you say, "Thus saith the Lord," or whatever, that you'll be persecuted for having any kind of an opinion. And I can see that even now, that some people, I don't even share my opinions with them on a personal level. Thank God that I have this radio broadcast and I can share my opinions here. So I can do that freely. But there's certain people that I wouldn't sit down and have a conversation with, because you know that you would only start arguing and fighting with them. Take, for instance, now a Catholic. If you would sit down, no, I was raised Catholic. I'm not a Catholic any longer. I had enough sense when I was 12 years old to get out of that mess. So imagine sitting down with a Catholic and you tell a Catholic that Jesus does not live in a wafer. Now, imagine the society we live in and how good a deception this is, because they've managed to deceive over a billion people into believing that Jesus Christ himself comes down from heaven through something the priest says during a mass, and that he actually comes, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, he actually comes down and he lives in a wafer. So now, this is a very prevalent deception, and there's even some Christians that will say that that Catholics are Christians. Well, you can't be a Christian unless you're born again, number one. You can't be a Christian unless you believe the truth about Jesus Christ. You can't be a Christian and believe in purgatory. You can't be a Christian and believe that Jesus Christ lives in a wafer. You can't be a Christian and pick up guns and go and fight with people, as far as they have some kind of a clash going on now with in Egypt, supposedly, I think, between Muslims and Christians. Well, what Christian goes out in the street with a gun and clubs and things and starts fighting with people? You can't be a Christian, a real Christian, and do these kind of things, because those aren't Christians. But you see today, and that's such a deception, I think, in these end times, one of the deceptions is they want to put these labels on people, calling them Christians, when their actions don't line up with the Word of God. There's nothing about them that is Christian, yet they use the term so loosely. So it's hard. It's really hard for people that are in the world to distinguish what a real Christian is and what a phony Christian is. So let's take, for instance, so-called Christian television. Now, how low can they go? Now, they go pretty low, don't they? So how many people that call themselves Christians and they go to church every Sunday and they're born again and they're spirit-filled, and yet they support these so-called Christian television networks when these people are far from Christian? I see very little real, true Christianity on television. Most of it is, just give me some money and let me get an airplane and a mansion and a Rolls Royce, and I'll preach to you, I'll pray for you. Look, you don't have to pray for yourself. You don't have to believe God for yourself. I'll do all the believing for you. Just send me some money. And then they promise you that if you send them a little bit of money, that God himself will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, though there won't be room enough to receive. So I don't know, but to me, that's not Christianity. Christianity is to love your neighbor as yourself, and we don't see enough of that. We love ourselves more than we love ourselves more than we love anybody else, and that's the kind of Christianity that we're seeing portrayed today. So imagine people in the world, and they turn these programs on, and they're trying to find Jesus. Now, I would say they, on some of these programs, they probably could find Jesus. They could actually get saved. So, yeah, that could happen. But are they looking at real Christianity? Are they really hearing the gospel from some of these people? No, they're not. They're not. It's a false gospel. It's another gospel. It's another Jesus. And it's not the Jesus Christ that we know. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So I wonder why more people, now there the Bible says from such turn away, that means if you're going to a church every Sunday because, oh, you like the music or whatever. Anyway, and then the guy standing up there is one of these guys. He's covetous. He's a boaster. He likes to tell you about all his blessings, all the blessings that he gets from collecting your 10%, and all the blessings he gets, and you can have all these blessings too if you're like him. So that's boasting and proud, without natural affection. They don't really love you. Do you ever hear most pastors complaining that, not enough people are tithing in here. After all, you're not tithing. And so they have no natural affection for you. They're just interested in what you could do for them. So when I think, you know, when you're in a ministry of any kind, whether you're a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or whatever, aren't you supposed to walk by faith and not by sight? Doesn't the Bible say whatever is not of faith is sin? So I wonder why anyone would want to go to a church where the pastor doesn't have any faith. All he does is beat you over the head for more money. And he lives better than anybody else in the congregation, usually, off the 10% he's collecting. If he wasn't collecting that 10%, he probably wouldn't have a ministry, because they don't have any faith to believe God to take care of their ministries. I heard something funny on Sunday. I happened to tune in for a few minutes to Randy White from Without Walls in Tampa, and he was saying, "Well, we had the people." We had the people here from the Tampa Tribune last Sunday, and they asked me, they said, "Randy, how come you take up so many offerings?" I think he took up 4 offerings one Sunday. And he said, "Well, we need the money." And he said, "Well, you know, people, you know, God, God can God do anything supernatural? I don't know," or something. He was saying that, in other words, you know, God couldn't really do anything supernatural. He had to keep telling you that he needed money. He had to tell you he needed money so that you would feel sorry for him or whatever and help him. It's not good enough for Randy to ask God to help him with the money. Isn't that what faith is? I think that's what faith is, really. So, but I thought it was really funny that he didn't think that God could give him the money supernaturally, that he had to come in every Sunday and take up 3 offerings and 4 offerings and bring in a used car salesman to help him take up the offerings and promise you the world if you would bring up an offering. Here's this guy, Randy White, a pastor. He can't pay his own bills. They're in debt. And they've had trouble for many years paying their bills. But yet he wants you to believe that if you give him some money every Sunday, that God is going to pay your bills. But he can't pay his. It was kind of the same thing with the Roberts family, Richard Roberts and Oral Roberts, really the father of the Seed Faith movement. They preached seed faith, and Oral Roberts preached it for many, many years, that if you sow a seed, God will meet your need, a financial seed, of course. And yet his university, Oral Roberts University, was $50 million in debt when they lost it. It was basically sold to a very wealthy man who now owns it, and it was taken away from the Roberts family. So now, if seed faith really worked, don't you think it would have worked for Richard Roberts and Oral Roberts? And then what happens a few months ago is Richard Roberts is arrested for drunk driving. Then we have Randy White arrested for drunk driving. Then we have Creflo Dollar arrested for supposedly assaulting his teenage daughter. What's going on with these people? There's something not right with their own life. There's something not right with what they're preaching, that they have to get drunk and they have to get addicted to drugs and they have to commit adultery and they have to do all these things. So why would anybody really want to go to these churches? And why can't you just follow what 2 Timothy 3 says? From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now, how do they creep into houses today? They creep in through the television And they lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they come in, and they get into your house through the TV, and so before you know it, you're sending them money, and you're getting the prayer cloth, and you're getting the holy water, and you're getting the anointing oil, and all that. And, you know, it just gets more and more ridiculous. So I'm wondering why more people just don't turn away. Just don't go anymore. Just leave. And you're better off staying home and reading your Bible yourself with your family than to go to these places. Maybe it's a form of entertainment for you. I don't know. But I think that's probably why some people continue to go, and because they're entertained. But also the Bible talks about being perverse. And 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Well, there's another scripture, withdraw thyself. Anybody that's going to tell you, if anybody's going to tell you that, look, I've got all this, and because I have all this, I'm godly, because look at me, I have such wonderful faith, and God gave me all these things. But 1 Timothy 6:5 says to withdraw yourself. So if the Bible says withdraw yourself, then you should just withdraw yourself. And take yourself out of that mess. Save yourself a lot of heartache. You'll save yourself a lot of money in the long run. How many of us have been conned? I know I have in the past, to giving some of these people my money and believing their foolishness. But if you want to go to 1 Timothy verse 6, if a man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, haven't we seen that? You see it all the time that people say, well, I want God to bless me financially. I want him to give me some money so I can bless other people. I want to be a blessing. And they never bless other people when they get the money. Money is a funny thing. You know, it's a good thing to have when you need to pay your bills, of course. And it is our means of exchange. But it really does funny things to people. People kill for it. They steal for it. They break up families over it. And I don't see too many people that when they get rich, they're just so generous. They're just giving it away to everybody. No, they want more. They want more. And it's kind of a funny thing how it works. So don't you think that God knows better than you do about how much money you should have? He knows that if he gives you too much, it could ruin you. It could destroy you. You could lose your walk with God. But yet, in the times we're living in, we have all these preachers on television telling you that, wow, you need to be prosperous, and you can be just like me, and you can have an airplane, and you can have a boat, and you can have all these things. But all these things don't make you happy if you don't have the peace of God. You can look in the news and you can see people committing suicide. They're having nervous breakdowns. No matter how much money they have, they're not happy because they have money. Yeah, it helps, but it doesn't bring you peace and joy. The only way you can get that is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you can have peace and joy, but you won't have it if you don't know Christ and you don't have a relationship with him. You just can't get it. You can't buy it. You cannot buy happiness. I was just looking at a few headlines here this morning, and a couple of these headlines I'll tell you about here. There's one headline here that says, a teen high on LSD arrested after talking to and fighting with a mailbox. Now, now imagine that. Like, you're walking down the street and you're passing by someone, and all of a sudden this guy is talking to a mailbox, and then he's punching the mailbox. And there's so many people that are high on drugs now. So many people, because it's so easy for them to go to a doctor and get some kind of pain medication. And years ago, they never gave people OxyContin when they went to the dentist. They used to give this drug OxyContin to people that were dying of cancer. Now, you know, all you have to do is say you have a pain, and they're giving you OxyContin, and they're getting people addicted. I have a friend, her mother's like 85, 86, and she's addicted to OxyContin, and she has to have it. OxyContin is nothing but, it's very similar to heroin, and you get addicted. And they are passing these drugs out, and there's so many people high, and they're driving their cars, and they're talking on the phone, and they're texting, and whoever thought they were going to see the day. Now, imagine if you were driving your car in the 1960s, and the driver of the car had a typewriter on his lap, and while he was driving, he was typing. You know, I mean, you never saw those kind of things. But today, when you go out in your car, you have to have eyes in the back of your head because you have to watch everything from this side and that side and in back of you and whatever, because you just don't know what the other drivers are doing. So you don't know what they're drugged up on, and you don't know if they cut you off or whatever, or you get angry at another driver if they're going to point a gun at you. And look what happened out in Colorado a few weeks ago. Here's these people going to a movie theater. They're going to watch a movie. They're expecting to have a nice night out. And all of a sudden, this nut walks in. Now, these people today, some of these people that go in and they're planning to have a mass murder, he was in full body armor. He had body armor on his feet, on his full body, on his hands, and on his head. So even if you're going to try to shoot these people to stop them, the bullets would have just ricocheted right off of him. He came prepared to kill. Now, that is a pretty frightening thing, to think that you're not safe, and you're not really safe unless God is protecting you, and you can ask God to protect you, because we live in a very, very wicked world, and we see that the love of many has grown cold. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see crazy weather. We see outbreaks. They're saying here now there's been an Ebola outbreak in Uganda. Now, that's very, very frightening. we're seeing more and more people going without electricity for days and weeks at a time in this country. It's a good idea to get yourself a generator, or they've got some solar generators that I've seen. Now that's a great idea, because you just need the sun. You wouldn't need gasoline to run your generator, which could be dangerous, but it's a good idea to try and get more self-sufficient, because haven't you noticed that there's the taxes are very, very high on the utilities. I think even on my telephone bill, I think I pay on a $30 bill, I think I pay $10 or $12 just in the taxes. So it's like almost a third of your bills nowadays are the taxes. And so expect the taxes on everything to go up and up and up. And some people's property taxes are outrageous in certain areas of the country. So it's a good idea to try and be self-sufficient, and to try to grow some of your own food, to try to have a backup for electricity. Like in the county that I live in, I called one time to see if I could get a well, drill a well in my backyard. And they told me, well, yeah, you can drill the well, but you can't drink the water. So, I can't drink the water. I can't drink the water. Yeah, she said you can only use it for your yard, but you can't drink it. So they want to control the water. They want to tell you that you can have a well, but you can't drink the water. And so they control the water. They control the electricity. They control the price of gas. So it's a good idea to try to become more self-sufficient. I have a link. Actually, you can go to YouTube, and there's a link there. There's a video on YouTube about how to build your own wind generator, and it was actually quite easy to do. So you can generate your own electricity. Because now, I've been in a hurricane, a small hurricane, and we did lose our power for 3 days. It was only 3 days, but it's very interesting when you're so used to having your electricity and your television and your computer and your telephone and everything, and then all of a sudden you don't have it. It's very, very odd. It's a very odd feeling. So after that happened to us, we did get a little bit prepared as far as getting a little cook stove that works on like a propane fuel, and we got some battery-powered fans because we do live in Florida. It can get quite hot in the summer if we lose our power, and it's good to have some extra water. And I'm not there yet where I believe in storing food for years at a time, but you know, it's a good idea to have some extra food on hand, because you could go to the grocery store and they'll be cleaned out in 2 or 3 days during a crisis, and you might not even be able to go to a grocery store. A lot of the stores here, when the power went out, they had to throw away a lot of the food because it wasn't any good. So it's a good idea to be prepared. Some of my friends that live up in Ohio, they had a dry hurricane about a month or so ago, which it just came up out of the blue. They weren't even expecting it, and they were out without power for days. Even some of them for weeks were without power. So it's a good idea to be prepared. Just be prepared for anything, because you just never know in the world we live in. Even in the small community that I live in, yesterday there was a bank robbery, an armed holdup, and these kind of things were unheard of here a few years ago. In case you haven't noticed, don't you see how murder is on the increase? There's so many murders. I never saw so many murders and kidnappings, and especially the kidnapping of children. I never saw these kind of things happening. And we know that we are in the end times. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have any hope for anything. There's two more scriptures that I wanted to read to you before we close today. And Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in a reputation for wisdom and honor. So God says that we have to have a good name, and I'll read you this scripture too. Ecclesiastes 7, and about having a good name. Now, you see that some people, they could have a good name all their life, and then all of a sudden they do one stupid thing, and their name is ruined. And the Bible talks about that, about how important it is to have a good name. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Amen. So we have to remember that anybody in any kind of a public ministry, you have to have a good name and a good reputation. And that is very, very important. We know that any of us could mess up, and you know, we have to try not to. And if we're in any kind of a public forum, that we have to conduct ourselves in a certain way, because people are listening to us, and there's probably people that listen to us that don't know God, and they want to know that we're different than the world. There has to be a difference. They have to be able to distinguish that we're a Christian, and that we're not of this world, but we're of another place, and we're citizens of another country, of the country of heaven. So I just want to close this program out in a few minutes that we have left here and ask you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can ask him today to reveal himself to you and to come into your life and to change your life and to let you be born again. You will be born again. You will be a new creation. First, you were born of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And if you get your Bible out, and I like King James Bible, and go to John chapter 3, and you'll see the words of Jesus Christ that he said, ye must be born again. And it is a real experience. You can go from death into life. You will be a different person. I know, because it happened to me, and nobody can tell me anything different, because I know what I was before, and I know what I am after Jesus Christ. Your thinking changes, your desires change, and you get peace. You don't have to look anymore. You don't have to go and try to find yourself anymore. You'll be you'll be found. Hallelujah. And it is a wonderful life to know God, and to be able to pray with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to see God meet my needs and to heal me and to help me. It's so wonderful. And he can help you today if you ask him. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Repent and turn and tell him you're sorry. And ask him to reveal himself to you and to come into your life. And he will. And you'll see a change. And believe me, you'll never want to go back again to your old life. Never. I never want to go back to what I was. Because knowing Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And it's a free gift, eternal life. You can have a home in heaven. You don't have to worry about dying and coming back as an insect or whatever, or as your neighbor or who. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So God bless you all today. Don't forget to tune in next week, 1 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have a special guest for you yet. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but we'll have somebody special for you. And thank you all for listening. I do appreciate it. Go to our website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. Bye-bye for now.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.